Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Following up on our ratings of teams closest to the playoffs, which lead executive is under the most pressure and who is under the least? Can you rank them, please?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're playing back a pick six question because we weren't done. You and I agree that it's Arturis Karnišovas.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's really, I'm surprised Dustin's take, because to me, there's no doubt that he's the executive under the most pressure to do something, declare your intentions to make an impact, because the trade deadline a week from tomorrow and the Bulls are running in place. And I don't know if that's by design, but the design is likely to look different when we wake up a week from Friday. What will it look like? If it's the same, that's not good for anybody, is it?
You know, I think that there are a lot of reasons that seem to be ganging up a little bit on AK here.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with...
Give them to me.
I think it starts with the Vooch trade with Orlando. Vooch was an all-star player.
Oh, you're going back to that now. Okay.
Well, he came here in 2020.
Mark's against him?
I'm saying Mark's against
him. Okay, all right.
So I'm going to start with the trade for Vooch. I'm just trying to go in line with how it happened. So you trade for Vooch. You give up a lot, and he's not yet made an all-star game. And I like Vooch, but he is limited, and you haven't had the success. You've won, I believe it is one playoff game since you made that deal. I mean, you weren't winning any beforehand.
I don't want to quibble with your list, but I do think at the time they had to do something.
And that's what they did, and I don't think it's worked out, as is evidenced by the fact that everybody wants them to start losing so they don't give up yet another draft pick.
I think the fact that they have been so reluctant to take another risk like that, maybe because they felt like that was not a good deal, did not go as they thought, and that has maybe made them – reluctant to try and try again.
So you do that. And then the next year is when you sign Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you got caught with your patty fingers in the holy water
The tampering cost?
Yes.
The penalty?
Well,
the draft pick.
Just, yes. You know, it was an embarrassment. He got caught doing that.
Not good.
Then he, how many games did he play before he goes down?
I think 37 was the number.
37.
But they
and
were
they
glorious.
They did look great. The greatest 37 games in Bulls history.
It was a glorious 37
game
era.
Other than those six titles.
It was six titles.
Yeah.
And then the 37-game dynasty.
You extend Zach LaVine. You give him the max money. And I'm not – I understand where they're – but it's not like he's an all-NBA player. I'm just saying, you did give him the max money. I don't know what decision you were supposed to make, and you thought you were going to be better. I got no problem with DeMar DeRozan and with what happened when you got him here. You did extend – you drafted and then extended Patrick Williams.
That, to me, of all that you've just said, is the most indicting, I believe.
I mean,
fourth overall.
I feel like we're just putting together the series of moves that got you to where you are right now.
Right.
And I'm not like, I understand that if everybody had stayed healthy and, you know, ifs and buts and candies and nuts. I mean, I
big
get
big picture
all.
Wise, I think we expected more player development. And I think Patrick Williams symbolizes the lack of player development. You can point to examples like Ayo Dosunmu, who was a second round pick that looks very good right now.
I agree.
Kobe White has changed his game, and he's played a variety of roles and done them very well and start to improve, and his arc is on the right direction. But I do believe that the examples you cite, and we could go on and on.
I mean, I can keep going, but I'll just stop
no,
there.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I think that you do look at
that's
reasons
why they're in the position they're in.
They're in the spot they're in. That there feels like there's a need to change course or to go pick a lane. You can bottom out and go for a draft pick and protect your top 10 pick and maybe even get higher than that with what is referred to as generational draft class with Cooper Flagg and company. There are a lot of guys in this draft class now that you feel like could be franchise changers, or do you continue to stay the course, flirt with respectability, kind of run in place and get into the play-in round and entertain your fans on a nightly basis, because on any given night, they could be good enough to beat the Nuggets or bad enough to lose to the Hawks.
Trading Caruso for Josh Giddey is the most recent example. And I know Giddey is young, and I know that they wanted different, but that was your one trade piece where you could have made a move that would have been really impactful for this team, and I don't feel like that was the move that's impactful.
Well, a year ago at this time, I believe that they passed on opportunities to get more for Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond, assets that you could have moved for draft capital in return that may put you in a different spot as we approach the trade deadline this year. So there are a litany of reasons why you could make the argument and exist, why you could make the case for why this is kind of a very critical period of AK's tenure. And you need to do something impactful one way or another.
What are they doing? Where are they going? Well, how good are they going to be?
Here's the risk
what
involved.
Do they have to build on?
What do you think of this? Maybe people have a thought, 312-644-6767. If he makes a move that helps them or makes it more obvious that they're going to bottom out, trading Vooch, trading Zach, one or the other. I don't know if it would be both, but if they definitely make a move where you're likely to protect that pick, does that buy him more time?
You know, it buys him through the draft. I mean, listen, I don't know. I'm not talking to Michael Reinsdorf. I don't know what he thinks when he looks at this team. I know what I think, and I'm not. Oh, you know, I'm not doing handstands over what's going on with this team.
Who is? I don't think that this is really a team that the fan base has embraced necessarily, that they still show up. It's still an entertaining night at the United Center. It's a great place to go to watch a basketball game, and the Bulls can entertain you on any given night, like we saw against the Nuggets. But I think that's a great way to keep fans engaged. I don't think it's a great way to win a championship, and it's got to be about winning a championship.
Well, how about making the playoffs? How about being good enough to ensure that you're in the mix. You're in NBA hell, man, and you have been for a number of years where you're vying for a play-in spot. That's repeatedly what you're having to do. I'm glad that Lonzo Ball is back. It's such a great story. It's one of the best stories in the league.
What do you think about his trade value?
Oh, I'd trade him.
Well, would if you were a contender, would you want him? Can you take that risk, and what would you give up for him?
No.
As great of a story as it is, and I agree, it's one of the better stories in the league this year, and you hope that it continues, but there's always that hesitation and anxiety that it won't. Any given night, you wonder how much longer he can go, and if you're a team that gives up something, you're not going to give up a first-round draft pick for Lonzo Ball.
No.
You're not going to give. Are you going to give up a second round draft pick for Lonzo Ball?
No.
Okay. I think so, because the risk involved.
But I mean, he's definitely worth a second round pick. A first round pick is no great shakes in the NBA. You know, there are.
This year it might be.
Well, there are a handful of guys you'd love to get. There might be some sleeper that falls a little bit in the draft. But for the most part, there's just not a ton of huge difference makers. Here's what I want to know. Where the hell is the Joker? I thought we were going to see a Joker-style player that only AK knew about. Is that just a one-off? I'm starting to think it's a one-off, Dave.
You mean the fact that he was found in the second round?
The fact that AK supposedly identified him.
Well, the Bulls had success in the second round with Io. I don't think he's the Joker, but he is... A success story.
Not the Joker.
The Joker is the exception, though. He's not the rule. You're never going to find another case like that where you get drafted in the second round and you win three MVPs. I don't think I'm out on a limb there
and
necessarily.
He won a title. Don't forget that.
He won a title. That's and he's on his way to his fourth MVP.
Yeah.
And whoever gets in his way, you pity the fool who does, because he'll run away from you if you want to take a selfie, and he will dunk on you if you're in his path. That's Joker.
And but, he will ride over you when he's racing his horses.
A lot of conversation about the Bulls and the trade deadline. Patrick Williams, I think, is untradeable. I don't think a team is going to take on that contract.
How many untradeable players are there on this team?
Well, Lonzo Ball is going to be difficult to move because of the health situation. Patrick Williams, because of his contract.
Yes.
Zach LaVine, I think his contract has been the biggest reason he's been difficult to move.
Okay. Let's just keep going. There are people you could move, no question.
Yeah, but Kobe White are the two guys that most teams would want because of their team-friendly deals. Also, Vooch has got a three-year, $60 million.
Josh Giddey.
Well, that's an interesting question because I don't know that comes up a lot. But I tell you, if you have the right offer for Josh Giddey, you might be motivated to make a deal because Josh Giddey is going to get to the end of the season. And as we talked about at the beginning of the year, remember the report, $30 million a year will be what he will be seeking because of restricted free agency. And that is too much for that guy.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I mean, I'm holding out for $100 million a year, but nobody seems to be biting. It's an absurdity. That's an absurdity. I get it. The NBA pays a lot of money, okay? But, you know, if you signed him to that kind of contract, you don't need to pick up Bradley Beal. You'll have him in the building. That would be one of the worst contracts in the league.
Dustin's saying that there's a report that everyone but Matas is available to be moved. Matas Buzelis is the only untradeable asset on the Bulls.
And I don't even know the way you worded that. He's the only untradeable asset. He's the only guy they're not going to trade. I don't think
he's willing to trade.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, I don't know. He's young and he could improve. And I think there's a lot to like about it, but I think it's, you know, years away.
He's a very project.
Young guy. Yes.
We just heard from Billy Donovan before the game in which he played 20 minutes. That we heard that Billy Donovan said Matas Buzelis is not a guy that can play 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's
so crazy. Somewhere in that sweet spot, he's a defensive liability. He is explosive. We saw the way he dunked, and we're going to see him dunk in the dunk contest.
I'm not looking forward to it.
I don't either. But did you see? I'll tell you something. I am looking forward to Zach LaVine's return to the dunk contest. Did you see the video that's circulating on social media? The Bulls put out there, Zach LaVine. Oh, my gosh. How would you describe that dunk, Brandon? He was Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you got to watch it.
He did it with ease. That was the best part of it. I don't think it was better than his last dunk that he did, which was like, what, a 7? He almost did like a 7-20 one time. But, I mean, he would win the dunk contest with ease.
He threw the ball up. It bounced. He grabbed it. He put it behind his back and between his legs, it seemed like. And then he dunked in one effortless jam.
Yeah, he's an incredible athlete.
Oh, my goodness. That would have been a 10 at a dunk contest. And he could still win that one that if he wanted to go back to it.
Mm. But he's not going back.
I know he's not going back to it.
Is he trying to give some Dustin is golf clapping in the other room?
See, I could do without the mockery.
Well, I mean,
that's what I could have a conversation.
We should unplug that TV.
I don't need the mockery. I don't need Dustin's mockery.
I don't think he's mocking you. I think he's mocking Zach LaVine.
All right.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, Zach LaVine dunking basketballs. I thought he had personal matters to attend to. Go attend, Zach.
That was previously in practice. Gosh. He played in the game the other night.
Like, I mean, let's get to the real heart of the problem. He hates players taking any time off for any reason.
Yeah.
Not completely true.
Feel that he should not get 3 games off.
I just wonder if the Bulls were in a different situation as far as their record, if he would be with the team.
I don't think so. I think they'd be pretty consistent. Yeah, late January. It's middle of the regular season. These things happen, and Zach LaVine's making a decision a lot of players would make, and I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. This has been a pretty good team player, a hard-working guy,
and he's definitely rewarded handsomely.
I
think he's been through a tough run. He was at one point the losingest player in NBA history.
And that's why he has the label he carries around. I don't think it's always fair. I look at him as a 6th all-time leading scorer in Bulls history and think that if he leaves, when he leaves, if he's being traded, one of the more underappreciated guys that have come through here. I hope that wasn't the last time at the United Center we saw Zach in a Bulls uniform, because if he doesn't come back until next week, you wonder if he'll be gone by then.
Wow. It didn't occur to me.
That is super interesting, Dave.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
He's going to be out for most of this 3-game road trip.
Yes.
Their next home game is February 4th. Will he still be a member of the Bulls
on that day? So you're saying, do you start him if you know you're trading him in 2 days? Is that what here's the thing.
I don't think
they have a trade set up. I don't think he's moving. I think they might be able to move Vooch to the Golden State Warriors. I think that's a distinct possibility. But I think that would be I also think they're not going to get back what they hope for, but they will get back.
It's unpopular, but I hope they keep him. I hope they keep him. I hope they keep Zach LaVine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I hope they keep him. Trading Vooch makes sense because of the contract.
Yes,
Trading some other pieces, I understand.
I stopped because I thought you were talking about Vooch. Hope they don't trade Vooch.
No.
I feel like they have to.
Yeah, I think so. Vooch can help some contender. He can help a team that wants a third, scoring option. I think he's definitely a guy who's proven his mettle over the years, and he's had a long career.
Mm-hmm.
Vooch has been around for a while,
right?
But I don't know what else the Bulls will do beyond one of those two big moves, and if it's not Zach or Vooch, then how impactful can the trade really be?
Right. Right, that is the kind of they need to change their franchise. They need to alter what they've got going right now, and that means big money contract. It means one of the top 2 players on the team. It really does. And I feel like with Vooch and his age and everything else, I think you pretty much have to make that move, and that'll make him worse.
They got a 4.5% chance of at Cooper Flagg right now,
and they probably get up to 8.
Why? It's a lottery ticket. It's just not a very good one either. By the way, FanDuel has them at 14.5, and I just took the bait.
See, I told you. I thought it was 14.5. And you wagered?
I did.
Oh my gosh!
Are you disappointed? Can
Who
I admit
said
that?
It was 15.5? You said it was 15.
Dustin said it was 15.5. Information.
I looked yesterday and it was 14.5.
It's 14.5.
And then I come in and everyone was talking 15.5, and I'm like, what gambler put big money in Vegas on that?
I just took the bait. I don't know. It was a modest wager. I just want to be in on it just so it's a little bit more interesting. And you guys are talking all the time about it. Dustin's talking all the time about the spreads.
See what's going on right here, folks.
Corruption.
That's exactly right.
Total corruption.
This is Mr. David. This is like, I have this horrible feeling that like 6 months from now, you'll be sitting there in like a rain barrel. Oh, my God, David, what happened?
What happened to me?
You'll have sold all your Flag at Anthem clothes.
Well, why wouldn't I?
to pay off gambling.
That's all I have left.
David,
it's a free stuff.
800 gambler.
Well, that's a lot of flannel there, sir. You're selling a lot of flannel. Yeah, give me $20 for that. I need to make a bet. Cubs on the money line. I don't care who's pitching.
It's so not funny because there's like so many horror stories out there.
I know. But I just bet on the Bulls. I took the Bulls and the points.
You did that while we're on the air.
I can multitask.
Holy cow.
I can multitask.
It's just you don't do that. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really long day.
But you're invested now.
I'm in now.
Yeah.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
There you go. I feel much better that it's 14 and a half. Because otherwise I'd feel like you were being suckered.
I got good advice. All right, let's talk football.
All right, we're going to bring in Dan Weed, where we'll talk to Dan about everything going on with the Chicago Bears. It's Mully and Law on the Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Weederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Weederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always fun to talk to Dan Weederer, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Living the dream. Yeah. You know, a lot of people complaining Maybe I'm exaggerating. A lot of people wondering why the Bears head coach and the general manager and more of the assistants aren't down at the Senior Bowl. I got absolutely no problem with it, but what is your take on 14 scouts and staff members down there, but not the main decision makers?
Look, I mean, they are represented down there. They have eyes on the proceedings. They have scouting underway. Look, they have a lot to get aligned with at Halas Hall in terms of uniting a new head coach with his general manager, first and foremost, and figuring out what the vision for this football team is. This is the time of year where a lot of things get blown out of proportion. Senior Bowl week to me is often a little bit laughable at how everyone feels like the most important thing in the world is happening. And really, you know, it's just because the NFL machine works the way it does. And the next thing you know, we'll be on to the next phase, which will be, you know, the combine in a few weeks and then into the draft.
So, Dan, what was your reaction to Rick Smith, the agent for Ben Johnson, going on the Bears Banter podcast and on the Score midday yesterday, and how much he revealed about the process and some of the details he included?
Look, I appreciate the insight. I appreciate anyone willing to pull the curtain back and let people in on their perspective on what occurred. I think for me, one of the most notable takeaways of the things that Rick Smith has said, both in that podcast and on your airwaves yesterday, is it sounds like someone who got assurances for his client that his client would have significant say in how this roster is built, constructed, yep, molded, and evolves, right? Like, he has stressed in multiple forums now that Ben Johnson has a very clear vision, and his vision is the one that matters most, right? And that's been an emphatic statement from that side. And so it's going to be very fascinating to watch this kind of evolve in the months ahead as Ben tries to get his relationship with Ryan off working in the professional way as they go to try to build this roster into something that can contend for championships.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we were there when the news conference, we heard the guy say he's going to take the offense down to, he's taking it down to the studs, whatever the term was. That didn't, to me, mean personnel. But I think that, you know, when you just think about the personnel, we kind of went over some of the five offensive linemen that are headed to free agency that you have to make a decision on whether even to retain any of them. And I would imagine there's probably a couple of guys that would have a shot at coming back here just because you need people and you need players. And I mean, they got a lot of money. It's almost $75 million, and they could make a big spending. You know, I mean, if they went for a Trey Smith, that would be huge money. But they could bring in people who can start immediately. That's feasible. But I don't know if you can get all the depth. I don't know if you can go through a draft and just think about offensive line only. Or, you know, you need help in the trenches, plural.
There's no question, Mully. And the first step to figuring out what kind of help you need is establishing the vision of what you want to do offensively and what kind of traits you require in the offensive line to be able to do it. Not an easy process to kind of figure this out and play some guesswork projecting forward on what the offense should look like. But look, like, they're going to have a ton of money. They have eight draft picks and four in the top 75. So you've got an opportunity to add two, three starters that are better than, you know, middle tier, right? Like, that should be a priority here. And like, there is times to look, like, I know Ryan has really prided himself in his first three off seasons at being very disciplined to the board. And when things get outside that, just saying, okay, we're going to move on and we're not going to overpay and overextend here. But there are times where I think it is beneficial to say, if we've got to pay a little more here, we're going to overpay a little more here, right? Like, just to make sure that we can do the things with our offensive line that allow Caleb Williams to take the steps that he needs to take in year two. And so we'll see what that looks like in the months to come.
What can you tell us about the appeal of 28-year-old Declan Doyle and why he would be worthy of the offensive coordinator title in Chicago? And what do you know about any overlap he might have had with Dennis Allen in New Orleans?
Yeah, right. So there, you know, like, Sean Payton combination there, right? Like, two guys that have worked under Sean and understand each other. They were together for a year in New Orleans, Dennis and Declan, with Dennis as the head coach there. The 28-year-old offensive coordinator situation is all about how Ben Johnson envisions that role being set up, which is to have a guy that he said needs to be able to set the table early in the week, a guy that can really come in, be organized, be structured, get deep into the tape while Ben Johnson is doing all the team oversight stuff that he needs to do. And so you're trying to find a young guy with energy who, in Ben's own words, can work late nights, right? Can be grinding that tape to 3 and 4 in the morning and be able to give him information when he comes in for, to set the game plan for the week, to be able to grind through that in a productive way. So we'll see how that works. Like, I think that it is very notable. Like, Ben Johnson brings along JT Barrett and Antoine Randall from Detroit, but for the most part, he's got to get to know a lot of these coaches that he's uniting with, including all three coordinators. That's not an easy task, you know? And so I think, like, as the hope and the excitement of last week recedes a little bit, you start to see the heavy, heavy lift that the Bears have ahead just to get themselves back on track.
How do you view the Ben Johnson offense in terms of, like, what we all know, the quarterback is very important, but like when you think of Sean Payton, for instance, you know, he uses like a joker position. He has a guy that is very versatile in most of his offenses and moves him around a lot. Does Ben Johnson need anything specifically in this offense that is not there right now? I mean, the Bears have a lot of things. I don't know if they have a power running game. I don't know. You know, you would say they don't have a Penei Sewell, right?
But no doubt.
I mean, and I mean, I'm not trying to be a wise guy. I'm just saying, is it a pro, all pro type of offensive lineman? Is it a different type of running back? The receivers look like they're okay. You'll have to add more. What's your take on just what Ben Johnson wants to do and what position he'll earmark is most important?
So the Bears had a bottom 10 rushing attack this season.
Yes.
And so that's what they need more than anything else is a running game that you can lean into. And I think Ben Johnson takes great pride amid the fireworks show that he put on in Detroit this year, that his team was third in the NFL in rushing attempts this year. He understands the need, particularly with a young quarterback, to establish a running game that takes pressure off the quarterback and then just as significantly creates play action opportunity. And the Lions were potent in play action for the last 2 years. And so it's going to be a slow build to get there. But I think more than anything else, Molly, you just want to figure out the combination of backs and linemen that gives you an offensive line and a running attack that every single week you can lean into and say, like, this is going to be there for us when we need it. And so that, I think, would be priority number one before we get to all the other bells and whistles and trick plays and everything else that comes with it.
Dan, big picture wise, I don't know if you've addressed this during the Take the North podcast with Grody.
You don't listen anymore?
I do listen all the time. I can't wait to make a return visit on there, hopefully this week.
Yeah.
I wonder, has it come up? The Bears swung big for Ben Johnson, and they hit the home run, and they paid him what people didn't expect the Bears to ever pay a head coach. Big picture-wise, how much was that search related to maybe the philosophy around the stadium project, and how badly did they need to land the big fish to be able to continue to pursue great things with the stadium project?
Yeah, it's a good question. And they're not, you know, a 100% overlap, but there is overlap between those two things. And when you're an organization that's trying to build a 40-year project, a stadium somewhere, wherever you decide to put it, you need momentum behind that. And the momentum isn't there when you lose 10 games in a row and fire everybody in your building. You know, like, so you need to create some form of excitement and energy and anticipation for people to latch onto, you know, and feel good about the energy that your organization is putting out. So I think in a small way, the hiring of Ben Johnson helps you in that regard. It gives you a headliner at the coaching position to pair with a headliner at the quarterback position and be able to show that, hey, like, we believe this organization is going places right now. And so we'll see what it turns out to be. You know, where I've stood on this for a while, like, Kevin has been adamant that a shovel is going to be in the ground before this calendar year ends. A shovel better be in the ground somewhere. We've volunteered up Mully's backyard previously on the show for a shovel to go on the ground, but a stadium needs to be underway before we get to December 31st of this year.
I'm curious. We used the word demoted when we talked about Ryan Poles and his role now that Ben Johnson is here. And part of that is Kevin Warren has been brought in. You know, obviously he's led a coaching search, but did he run the coaching search or did Ben Johnson? And Kevin kind of made sure you paid the money needed to get the guy. And then you hear Rick Smith saying that. So is it inaccurate to portray the role that Ryan Poles fills as one that is a demotion from the one he was hired to?
I would soften the word and I would just say revised, you know, or revision, a role revision for Ryan Poles. And I think like the next step in this is to figure out how he and Ben interact. You know, like I've said it a couple times this week that for the first year that Ryan Pace and John Fox were together, it was all smiles and they were good buddies and they were in lockstep and everything felt great. By the start of season three, that relationship wasn't in a very healthy place now, was it? And so like there's a lot that goes into this that these guys are going to have to learn. And 30 minutes on a Zoom call may feel good, but you have no idea how you work with someone spending 30 minutes on a Zoom call with them. It's going to take all the big decisions and the big moments to figure out if these guys are truly compatible in the way that produces team success.
Yeah, I termed it, Dan, better diminished than dismissed in terms of Ryan Poles
sure.
and his power base. And I just wonder the first time they come to a prospect or what they want to prioritize at a draft spot, who wins that battle. And I don't think it'll be a battle. That might not be the right word, but what you're saying is true. You don't really know until you get in those conversations and you're in that context of that setting. And that's really hard to project that in one virtual meeting. As much as they made it sound like they had him at hello,
right?
I do wonder how, you know, that's a football romantic looking at it that way. I do wonder what the reality will be.
Listen, I think that if you're putting the pie chart to why Ben Johnson took this job, the quarterback is on there. I think the money that he received from the Chicago Bears is on there. And I think the say that he's going to have in establishing and following through with his vision is there. If you read between the lines and sometimes even right between the words that Rick Smith has said here in the last week, again, it sounds like a guy who was able to establish with the people he was talking to inside Hallis Hall that his guy is going to be very influential in how these decisions go down, right? And so now, to your point, David, when the hard ones come up, who wins? And who wins consistently? And so it sounds like Ben Johnson has been empowered to be the winner in more of those situations. I'd also say that some of the admissions that Ryan Poles has made, you know, in the last month and a half of things that caused the Bears to have such a miserable 2024 are startling. And so a diminished role might not be the worst thing for them when he talks about not having seen or addressed major issues
right.
that contributed to a 10-game losing streak.
That's a great point. Dan, thanks a ton. Just on the way out, any idea the timetable of finishing off this staff? I know they're going to have a news conference and we'll hear from the all the coordinators. Any idea when this thing will be done?
ASAP. Yeah. I think that's the timetable right now.
And they're moving fast. I'm not getting on. Yeah. I mean, they're moving really fast.
And you've got to figure out who in the building you want to keep. And Biggsy's had some names there of guys who may stick around. And then you need an offensive line coach too, right? Like we know that the quarterback's coach and the coordinator are locked in, but now the next big one is the O-line coach.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, fellas. Talk soon.
That is Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune. Good stuff as always. 312-644-6767. So it's not a demotion. It's a diminishment.
I think it's the diminished role. Or maybe not a diminished role, but certainly the voice isn't as loud and it won't carry as far.
And the power is diminished.
I think his power is diminished.
Yeah.
But
when there's another guy with more
that's
money.
That's appropriate, though.
We
can talk about this as like, well, yes. You know, this is a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal or breaking news.
Whether anyone believes it or not, I believe that if Ben Johnson said, yeah, okay, I'll take the job. I want the job, but not with him, then he wouldn't be here.
I do agree with that. I think that he basically did not
exert
as much power as he could have.
Right.
And we'll hear, maybe we should listen to what Rick Smith had to say about that specific thing.
Yeah, we'll listen to that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
So the questions I asked were, you know, very direct in the sense that, you know, are you married to this roster? If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys, no matter how much you like or dislike them? This is basically Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, his staff, tying themselves at the hip, starting to break down this roster, understanding what Ben's vision looks like. And that's the key. Ben has an absolute vision. That's all they ever needed. They needed a clear vision. And now they've got it. And when you get that vision, your job gets a lot easier. Now it's just go finding those players, and they will not have any interference whatsoever from the president, from the ownership. They'll be advised, of course, but they will not say no.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Rick Smith, local guy made good, and he is the agent for Ben Johnson. And interesting to hear inside the negotiations. He was on with Dan and Layla and Marshall Harris yesterday, and it was excellent. It was really insightful and fun to listen to. I like a lot of what he had to say.
Yeah.
Maybe we're picking nit with it. I don't think we are.
I don't think we are. I think the more he reveals, the more it reinforces the idea that Ben Johnson is going to have a lot of power in this organization, more than any other person, as it should be for a coach making $13 million a year in the top 10 among NFL coaches. Because when you look around the league and you see the coaches who are in that top 10, they also wield the same type of power in their buildings.
Yes.
It's John Harbaugh-like, which is he's the eighth highest paid coach. It's a guy like when you look at
a Super Bowl winner.
I know, but I am. That's not lost on me. Yeah. I think that you're paying somebody
to win a Super Bowl,
and that should be where the bar is set. And you know, Rick also referenced the 85 Bears and the 2006 Super Bowl, and how it's just these are not. This is not an example of an organization that has sustained success. This is lightning in a bottle type stuff. And you don't need to run your organization that way. You don't want to. And to eliminate that or to change that, you need people like Ben Johnson at the front of the hierarchy, on top, making decisions and wielding that power. And so that's the way it's going to be. And it is it's calculated risk, but you definitely feel like they believe this is the right move at the right time, and it's better than the alternative. The alternative would have been, well, there are a couple different alternatives, but I think it's better to have Ben Johnson's voice be the loudest and one that carries the furthest than Ryan Poles's at this point in the Bears' development and growth.
Again, to be seen. I have no problem with Ryan Poles being the guy that picks the players, whatever the job is. But Ben Johnson knows what he's looking for, presumably, right? He's had a lot of success over the last few years in Detroit. I don't think it should be on his plate to pick the players, but I think he should be able to evaluate guys as he's looking at them, as he's seeing how they fit into what he does, and then determine, no, we need this kind of guy. Like, if he could say, I want someone like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then get yourself the closest imitation. But it's really hard when you talk about frontline NFL talent to be able, they do this all the time in draft guides. Oh, he plays just like J.J. Watt. Well, no, he doesn't. He's a poor man's J.J. There's only, you cannot be a generational talent just because you look like a guy or you have the same physique. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot more. And I'm saying the scouting process needs to be left to people that do that for a living and can figure it out. But certainly I got no problem with the coach saying, nah, that guy doesn't have it. That guy doesn't have it. That's what you have to have.
And they have to make more, I think, reflexive decisions. It's instinctive decisions. It's the scouts that find the traits, and you know the difference, and they do all this exhaustive scouting because you want to know the difference between a first-round tackle and a third-round tackle and where guys fall. But if you're choosing between guys in the first round, say, hypothetically at number 10, Ben Johnson's voice will be heard if it's between an offensive tackle or a running back or a pass rusher. You would think that he'll know what he wants in his mind. What is it? What is his vision for the Bears? And I think that's what Rick Smith was articulating. The vision is clear, and Ben Johnson will get what he wants.
When we come back, I want to ask you philosophically, it's kind of a chicken and egg question, chicken or egg. Is it the offensive line or the running back?
Mm-hmm.
Which is to be preferred? If you put a guy like Saquon Barkley on last year's Bears, would he succeed, or was that offensive line not going
to
help?
It's a good question. We'll get to that. And also, there's a little college football note I want to sneak in the next segment as well.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.